And you know, I'm supposed to be talking to you about having a bold stand and a balanced spirit. And what I want to give you this morning really links to what we preached on last night, and it deals with the subject as well. So I was just praying this morning. The Lord said, I want you to go to this verse this morning, Daniel 6 and verse 10. If you're able to stand with us, we'll read one verse and pray, and then you can be seated. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Notice the last phrase here. As he did aforetime. Father, I ask you for the next few moments to please help us. Lord, I don't want to be in the flesh, or I don't want to say anything to Lord that would grieve you in any way, God. I just pray that you'll give me the words and the wisdom to say what you would have me to say. Speak to our hearts. Thank you so much, Lord. No doubt for what we've heard this morning already, I pray that we'll listen to it over and over again. God, thank you for Brother Cooper. Thank you for the message, and we pray for your will now to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, when I think about boldness and I think about balanced, a bold stand and a balanced spirit, I think about Daniel. Because Daniel was a very bold young man, but Daniel had a balanced spirit. In fact, the Bible says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And if you go back and you study the book of Daniel in chapter 1, we know that Daniel took a bold stand. He was from the age of 18 to 20 years of age in chapter 1. And Daniel took a bold stand in chapter 1 with a very balanced spirit. He was not crude, he was not rude, but he did not back up, he did not compromise his convictions. And even though Daniel lived in Babylon all of his life, Babylon never lived one day in the heart of Daniel. Amen. Daniel lived in Babylon just like he would have in Jerusalem. And I would say the reason for that is because Daniel did not make his decisions in Babylon. He made his decisions in Jerusalem. And so it tells us that you and I have got to decide who we are, where we stand, and what our convictions are before we face the opposition. Amen? And when you're right, you don't have to debate. When you're right, you don't have to argue. When you're right, you don't have to attack. When you're right, you don't even have to give an explanation. Amen? You sleep good at night when you know that where you stand and what you believe is right. Amen. And so Daniel is that. In chapter 1, Daniel's about 18 to 20 years of age. In chapter 2, he's 22 years of age. In chapter 3 and 4, we really don't know how old Daniel is, but by the time we get to chapter 5, Daniel is 87 years old. When we come to chapter number 6, Daniel is 88 years old. So you've got to think about where Daniel is at in his life in chapter number 6. He is an old man. He has lived in Babylon almost all of his life, and Daniel has lived for God. He is not compromised. He is not backed up. He has lived for God in an ungodly hour, in an ungodly day. And that's where we're at tonight, or this morning. And I think the link of all of that, the balanced spirit, the bold stand that was in Daniel's life, I really do believe it had to do with this one thought here, and that is that Daniel was a great man of prayer. I just want to go back to prayer this morning. I feel like the Holy Spirit would have me to do that, because here's why. Boldness is not anger. Boldness is not arrogancy. And boldness is not attacking. And sometimes, if you're not careful, as a young preacher, and I think we ought to preach hard, we ought to take a stand, we ought to call sin out. We got to preach on sin. What you don't preach on in your church is what will consume your church or your ministry. I promise you that. We don't just need to preach on sin in general, but we need to catalog sin. We need to call it by name. Amen. And I think every now and then, oftentimes, a preacher ought to clear off a path and just preach on everything he can think of. It'll be healthy for the church. Amen. But having said that, oftentimes we see a lot of men that get in the pulpit, and let's just be honest, they're not standing for holiness, and they're not full of holiness, but they're full of hatred. Amen. Don't misunderstand a mean spirit for taking a strong stand. Amen. For Daniel was never mean. Our Savior was never mean, but they never backed up. They never compromised where they stood. They didn't give the devil any ground. Amen. And I think it was because what Daniel had in common with our Savior is that they both were men of prayer. And I think that comes down to this question. Do you have a prayer life? Amen. And I want to help you for just a few moments. I'm not an authority on this subject by no means. There's never been a day in my life where I felt like I've read enough Bible, spent enough time time in prayer or witness to enough sinners. Amen. And I think that's because there's always more to be done. Isn't that right? But I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on the habit of prayer. The habit of prayer. Because in verse number 10, what we see is not that just that Daniel is praying, but Daniel, it's a habit in his life. If you go back to verse number 4, you notice the plot here that these men, these presidents and princes, they sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find an occasion nor fault, for as much as, notice this, he was faithful. To be faithful means to be a person of habit, isn't that right? Neither was there any error or fault found in him. So Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was a faultless man. And according to verse number 9, Daniel was a fundamental man. Look what they said. They said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except, here it is, we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, if we're going to pick on Daniel, if we're going to find a fault in Daniel, we're going to have to find some. We're going to have to attack the fundamentals of his faith. We're going to have to go beyond Daniel, and we're going to have to go to the law of his God, because Daniel is a man of principle. He's a man of prayer. He's not going. If there's any area of Daniel's life, he's not going to change it. It's going to be in the convictions and the standards that he has based on the principles that he believes. You know why some men change so quickly? Because they never believed it anyway. Sounded good. It got an amen. It was the going thing for the time. Some men reinvent themselves every 5 to 10 years, and they're not today who they were 10 years ago. You know why? They're not faithful men. Now, they may be famous men. They may be popular men. But listen, you can find fault in them because they're not true to the Word of God. The plot, and I notice the politicians, verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said, thus unto him, King Darius, live forever, and all the presidents and the kingdoms and the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captain. Notice all the dignitaries here in verse 7. The Bible said they've consulted together to establish a royal statue and to make a firm decree. Notice this firm decree here. I want you to notice something about this. That whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man, now what, you ought to underline this, for 30 days. Think about the duration of this decree. Because it was not that they wanted to stop Daniel from praying. They just wanted to stop him for 30 days. I wonder how many preachers today could easily go without 30 days. You don't even need a decree. See, the problem, they knew this much about Daniel. They knew that Daniel had developed such a habit of prayer that we don't have to ask Daniel to quit praying. Let's just get him to not pray for 30 days. Amen? And you know what? Daniel was such, now I'm going to tell you something. Daniel was such a man of prayer. He wasn't going one day, let alone 30 days. Man of God, can you go one day without prayer? Notice the problem. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, signed the writing and the decree. Now, this is interesting when you get to verse 10. Watch this here. Because it's been signed, it's been settled, and it's sin. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what Daniel's about to do, he's going to do it knowing the writing has been signed. Daniel did not let what he knew, what had been written, or what had been signed stop him from praying. You know, there's a lot of things that's been written and signed, but our mandate is right here. Had a man look at me one day. We built a fellowship on our church, and he said, "Well, I just want to talk to you about something." I said, "Sure." He met me at the church. He said, "Well, there's a big elephant in the room." I wasn't aware there was an elephant in the room, but you would think you would know that. But he said, "There's an elephant in the room." I said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, are the women going to be allowed to wear pants in the fellowship hall now?" And I said, "Well, no, we're not. You never heard me say that." And he said, "Well," he said, "that there's some of them that wants to do that." This was years ago when I first took the church, and I said, "Well, we're not doing that. That's not something that I would ever allow, nor would we ever do that in the church or in the fellowship hall or church gatherings of any kind." And he said, I want to remind you, he flew for FedEx at the time, he said, "I want to remind you that I pay your paycheck." I said, what do you mean? He said, well, and of course, I made $350 a week, and his tithe was $350 a week. He said, I tithe what you make. I said, well, you're wrong there. I said, you don't pay my paycheck. I said, God. I said, brother, I'd rather dig ditches before I'd let your wife wear breeches. Amen. In our fellowship hall. Isn't that right? You say, what did you say all that for? I'm saying that there's going to be times that you're going to have to move on in spite of what you know, in spite of what's been said, in spite of what... You say, well, how am I going to keep all that with a bold stand and a balanced spirit? Prayer. I'm telling you, if you don't have the habit of prayer in your life, you'll wind up being a bitter preacher. You'll wind up being a prideful preacher. You'll wind up being a preacher that is full of jealousy or envy or self. Amen. I'm telling you, prayer, it's not that we're so spiritual that we pray. But I'm telling you, when you get along with God, it knocks every bit of that nastiness that rises up in all of us. The prayer closet reveals us for who we really are and how wicked we really are. I'll prove that in this text here, because Daniel and Joseph are the only two men in the Bible that the Bible never said anything about their faults or their failures. And the only reason we know about Daniel's sin is not because God brought it up, but because in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel brought his sin up. When he was praying for the nation of Israel, he did not say they have sinned, but he said we have sinned. Why would Daniel, such a godly man, make such a statement like that? I'm going to tell you why. Because the prayer closet keeps us on our knees. It shows us who we really, really are. Preacher, we need to see ourselves more than we need to see others. The habit of prayer. Let me give you these thoughts and I'll be done. How to develop the habit of prayer in your life. To keep a bold stand and a balanced spirit. I want you to notice with Daniel that it involved the same place. The Bible said he went into his house. Daniel had a place that he prayed. If you don't have a place, you don't have the habit. Your place may be the bathroom. Your place may be a motel room. It may be a bedroom. It may be out in the woods. You may have an altar somewhere, but you've got to have a place. If you're here and you say, preacher, I want to develop the habit of prayer, then find you a place. I don't care where that place is, but it's got to be a place. Listen, that you can go to frequently. That's got to be your place. If you don't have that place, then you won't have the habit in your life. Listen, maybe it's your office at the church, or maybe you work a full-time job. And it's back in the back of a mill somewhere behind some boxes. But go find you a place. God will give you a place that you can go to, that you can pray. I think Job had that place. The Bible said that he offered up burnt sacrifices according to the number of his children, according to all the number of his children. In the last verse of verse 5 says, thus did Job what? Continually. Amen. Job had a path that led out to the barn where he got one of those animals, and he had a path that led out to the altar where he offered up those offerings according to the number of all of his children, meaning that Job didn't just go out there and get one animal and put it on the altar and say, this is for all of them. No, I tell you why, Job paid the price. He had a place, and he offered one according to the number of them all. Job had a place. Preacher, do you have a place? If you don't have a place, you don't have a habit. Same place. Secondly, notice it involved the same pattern. The Bible says, with his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Oh, that's how Jewish people prayed, wasn't it? They opened their windows toward Jerusalem and they prayed, but they had a pattern. You say, well, am I supposed to open the windows? I'm not saying that's the pattern, but I think Jesus left us the pattern in Matthew chapter number 6 when he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, and we have our Lord's Prayer. But those six things that Jesus gave in that Lord's Prayer is a blueprint to teach us how to pray. Those six things, if you take those six things and just say, that's my blueprint, I'm going to try to spend 10 minutes praying in that form, in that fashion, then we can do what Jesus said when he said, what could you not watch but 1 hour? Amen. I mean, listen, he said, our Father which art in heaven. That's worship, isn't that right? Hallowed be thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's yielding. Now, when you go to God in prayer, you worship him for who he is. Amen. And then you yield to God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. said, that's asking. Amen. You don't just rush into the presence of God and just start asking. Worship God. Amen. Get in the frame of mind. And then yield yourself to God. And then lay those petitions before God. In fact, if you pray like Paul did in the book of Ephesus, those two prayers there, you'll notice that in everything that Paul asked for those two, for the church of Ephesus, you can go home and read it later. Everything he asked was already the will of God. Now there's things we pray about we don't know is the will of God. But there ought to be a whole host of things we know. And then we can claim 1 John 5:1. This is the confidence we have in him, that we know that if we ask anything according to what? His will, he heareth us. And so worshiping, yielding, asking. I'm talking about the pattern of prayer, the blueprint that Jesus gave us. He said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Hey, that's confessing. Amen. Listen, confess to God those sins. And then he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's watching in prayer. Amen. He said to watch and pray. How do you watch and pray? Now, I'll tell you what you do. You list everything that you think is a temptation. You list everything that you think is a weakness in your life. Amen. It may be an ugly page, and it will be. You won't want anybody to see that. That's why your prayer book is to be secretive. And you list everything that you struggle with that's a temptation or a weakness in your life, and you watch in prayer about that. You know what it does? It makes us aware. I got weaknesses. I got temptations. And if I don't pray about those, if I don't watch in prayer, the devil may get me. He may get you. And then he said, praising, thine be the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever and ever. Amen. In that prayer, praising God. I'm talking about the habit of prayer. Have a pattern. He had a pattern. Do you have a pattern when you pray? I think about Brother Blue when he prayed. We all know his pattern, don't we? Lord, I want to thank you that you let me be born in America, that you let me hear the gospel. He's in heaven, but his prayer is still living on. We all know that pattern, don't we? When you get up and pray, pray that same way. Somebody said, well, that's the formality, that's repetition. I think God likes repetition because he created those beasts and he put them before the throne, and they basically they just say the same thing over and over and over. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hey, God is a God of repetition, and there's nothing wrong with being repetitious. If it's sincere in prayer, the pattern of prayer. And then I want you to notice his position here. The Bible says he kneeled upon his knees. Humility. To come before God humble. You know, there's a lot of arrogance in the pulpit today. And I think the reason there's so much arrogance is because there's a lack of prayer. When men don't pray, it just comes out. I'm not telling you this morning that I've got it all together. I'm not telling you this morning that I've not dealt with arrogancy, but I will tell you this much about arrogancy. Every time I've ever been arrogant, every time I've ever said something prideful in the pulpit, and I have, and every time I've got out of line in the pulpit, the Holy Ghost of God. I was preaching one Sunday at the church, and it was one day just uphill, you know, just fighting, you know, and I hit a stump, you know, and I backed up and I made a statement. And when I made that statement, a lot of people shouted. But in my heart, the Holy Ghost said, now you know you shouldn't have said that. Has he ever told you that? I'm going to tell you, prayer will keep you in line, won't it? And the position, we need to stay low, don't we? We need to stay low. People don't need to see us. They don't need to hear about us. There's nothing wrong, preacher, with you. We have to use personal illustrations in our life, and I get that. But be careful with those illustrations. Don't make the sermon about you. I'm not saying there's times I use illustrations, but you need to minimize that. You need to use Bible illustrations, historical illustrations. You know why? You can't embellish those. You can't lie about them. People can fact check you. Amen. You can't. You know, and I think it's a good thing. I mean, isn't it that way? The more you tell the story, the better it gets. Amen. It just kind of grows and starts building, amen. But you know what? You need to use those other illustrations more than use yourself. Pride is the only disease that makes everybody sick but the one who has it. You've heard that. And the position, kneeled upon his knee. The period, notice this, 3 times a day. What's interesting is David and Daniel, David of old, Daniel of old, they didn't live in the same era, the same time frame. But they had something in common. You know what it was? It was their prayer life. I've seen Brother Allen. Been with him many times, and many of you have. He prayed 3 times a day. Didn't matter where he was at. Sometimes in a restaurant, he would slip off to the bathroom for a few moments and pray. Sometimes going down the road in the car, he'd bow his head. He wasn't sleeping. He was praying. In the motel room, if he ever said to you, do you need to use the restroom, you better go whether you needed to or not. Because he was going to spend some time in prayer. He was a man of prayer. Do you have a period? If you don't have a set time, I think it was Guy King made this statement. He said that you must have a set time. And he said, here's why. He said, if you don't have a set time, he said, this was a statement, if I can get it together. He said, oftentimes, any time or sometimes becomes no time if you don't have a set time. One of the greatest books I ever read, Guy King on the prayer secrets. You ought to read that book. Just a little secret on prayer every morning. You have a period. You have to set time. You don't let the good things keep you from the best thing. I think some other great preacher made that statement. And then finally, notice the purpose here. The Bible said he prayed. I think that when Daniel prayed, he prayed with a purpose. Prayer shouldn't be formality. Prayer should not be just going through saying that I got it done. You need to have a prayer list, but you need to have a prayer life. There needs to be a purpose. Sometimes God will do. If you have a church directory, go through that directory and pray. Use it as a prayer book. Amen. You ought to print off missionaries' list on your church. Get them off your website. Put it in a prayer book and pray for those missionaries. Amen. Maybe you pray one day for missionaries, one day for that. I don't know. But you make up your own way. The individuality of prayer is important. Amen. But you need to have a purpose. You know what a purpose does? It gives you a path. It gives you a direction. And prayer shouldn't just be whatever runs through my head. Amen. Prayer ought to be outlined. It ought to be laid out. Here's where I'm going with God. And then when God puts those other things, it'll be all right. But have a purpose so you know where you're going. You know, if I come over to talk to Brother Shelton, I've got a purpose. And then there's times I just see him, I just want to say, I just want to talk to you. Just whatever. The purpose. And then the praise. Now I want you to think about this. The Bible said he gave thanks before his God. Now you know why that's so important? Daniel done it for all of his life. He's 88 years old. But on this day, there's a decree hanging over his head. On this day, there's a lion's den waiting for him. On this day, he knows the cost of just thanking God. But he had done it all these years. He could not quit. And finally, the persistence, as he did aforetime. You know what amazes me about the text? Is that Daniel never paid that decree any mind. He went out there and he opened those windows as he did aforetime. Why do you think Daniel did that? He'd done all of his life. I think prayers like this, we struggle with it. Let's just be honest. Some days we don't hit the mark like we should. Some days we miss the mark. You know, if you got to fly out at, you got to be up at 3:30 in the morning, you got to fly somewhere. So, I mean, let's just be honest. I'm not getting up at 1:30. To go pray. You say, what are you going to do? I'm going to get up and go brush my teeth and say, Lord, I'll talk to you later on today about some of these other things, but I'm glad you let me get up this morning. And you just go on. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. Somewhere throughout the day when I get a chance, then there's days where you miss that mark altogether. You say, Lord, I'm sorry I failed, but I'm glad you didn't fail. Amen. Let's be real about it. Just because you quit, don't quit. I'm going to tell you something. Prayer is a lifelong journey. But you got to start somewheres. And I pray that God will help every preacher here. There's no telling what your ministry could be for the glory of God if you make prayer the primary focus of it. God bless you.